Welcome back to another episode of Girls with Fun.
Are we having fun? We just had like a whole long debrief about like various things we're going through right now. I feel like we may have misnamed this podcast.
We're doing what we can.
Yeah.
We are surviving, and that's
Girls who
what's
are surviving.
exactly.
Girls muddling through.
That's what's important. We're getting through it day by day. Yeah. New week, new things.
Yep. I saw a tweet, and I don't know if this is true, but in all of 2023, we've only gone like 15 days with no content.
Oh.
I
Well,
feel like that's kind of true. Yeah.
when you put it into that perspective. I see it. We have been on a roll. I think that's why it's going to be so hard if they do, like everyone's speculating that if they do all enlist by the end of this year, and we're just going to have that like 6 month drought. It's just going to be so weird, unless they have things planned for us in between the time of then and when Jen gets back. It's going to be a little weird.
I'm just so grateful for Jin's like monthly videos and the comments that he and Hobie leave on Weverse, because it just like gives me hope, right?
Yeah.
That like they're not gonna go total like blackout. But then every day I wake up, like, is today the day Yoongi metaphorically returns from war and posts something on Weverse? And that day is yet to come. So
Yeah. Yeah. A lot's on the way. JK's album. Oh my God. Is that out next week?
yeah, next Friday. Well,
Oh.
like the Friday coming up, because we're recording on
Yeah.
Saturday, so 6 days from now.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's almost on the way. I just saw they're having a Prime documentary.
Yeah,
No,
November
Prime
9th.
movie for Yet to
Yeah.
Come, right?
Yep.
So that's on the way.
Can I ask a
Wasn't
dumb
there?
question?
Yeah.
Is that the Busan concert or is it something else?
I think it's the Busan concert.
Okay. That's what I was thinking, but the way they were framing it as like yet to come, I was getting confused.
Yeah, I think that's the Busan concert. And wasn't there a Disney Plus one that's supposed to come out at some point?
Yeah, there were a few on deck from just like the copyright office, I
Think
think.
we had one more. I thought it was coming out in November or December.
Beyond the Star will be released in December 2023. It was announced in July. Oh, the Disney HYBE collaboration was announced in July 2022. The docuseries will feature music and video footage from the band over their 9-year career.
Okay, so that's
I thought
still
it
on the
was
way.
already released some places, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, so a lot of BTS footage to look forward to. Throughout the end of the year, wow. Yeah, so we'll stay busy through December. Did you listen to Too Much?
I did. I liked it. I thought it was catchy. And I only listened to it like a couple of times. So, usually I'm in my grump era, so.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I was like, okay, it's off first rip. This is my bag essentially, so I was very pleased with it. It sounds very much like something Justin Bieber would do, so I was not surprised when people were like, Justin wrote this, or he gave the song to Killer Roy, I can't recall. Or he was, I don't know. Somehow he was supposed to be involved, but JK is on the track instead, so.
JK
Yeah.
possibly displacing his idol of all idols.
Right.
Well, that might be IU, but between the two of them.
Yeah, it sounds good. I like Central C's verse too. I was kind of, I don't want to say worried, but I know how people are reacting over JK's songs being like sexually explicit or just explicit in general, and crying over that. And his stuff was like barely anything, and I'm like, y'all must have never listened to Central C. It's like, buckle up, because it's not going. It might not be pretty for you, but I mean, I don't think it was too bad. So
it's funny because when you were here, I think it was right as you were leaving or right after you left, this like collaboration was announced, but you and I had been like driving around listening to like the Kalea Car playlist that we made in Central C was on there. So it was just funny.
Yeah.
I was like, look at this.
I did not foresee a Central C JK collab in 2023.
Bingo card.
Yeah. This guy's just doing any and everything. So looking forward to his album. I'm really excited to see what sound he decides to go with, or multiple sounds, so we're almost there.
I saw that there was like a track, I don't know if analysis is the right word, but like descriptions of all the tracks released. And apparently he has like some reggaeton influence beats on there, so I'm looking forward to that one.
I did see that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I'm extremely curious.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. But this week, we're here to talk about Jimin's production diary, which has been fully released.
It feels like it came out of nowhere to me, if we're being honest. Like, I was like, is he releasing, like, more stuff? Or, like, he's been releasing like TikTok dance challenges and stuff on his Instagram, but I feel like they announced it and it came up really fast. Maybe I've just been busy, but I wondered if it was part of a larger comeback promotion, I guess is the point of what I'm saying here.
Yeah. I feel like these days I have a hard time keeping up with whatever BTS is doing. Whether it's like, whatever they're showing in their personal lives on their Instagrams versus their actual professional careers. So, yeah, I know you had a bit of back and forth on one of the previous episodes about, like, is this going to be a physical DVD? Is this on Weverse? Like, what is this? But, yeah, if you go to Weverse, you can purchase it for $21.99 US. Or whatever your currency is, or you can get it for the low. I won't elaborate, but
we would not know about that, but
exactly, you can figure that out on your own. But anyway, yeah, there was we already discussed the teaser, which Jimin writing a letter. There are some photos released. Now we have the full documentary. I think it was about an hour long. Hour and 6 minutes, something like that. As well as commentary and a quiz show. I watched the documentary and the quiz show, but I did not finish the commentary. I got through, like, I don't know, a quarter of it or something like that.
I watched the documentary, most of the commentary. I didn't finish it, but I was probably like 2/3 through. And I like skimmed the Weverse Live.
Yeah, he also had that as well, which I like hopped into it probably like one of the last few minutes, and just watching him laugh at those balloons on the floor.
I still don't understand though, like, why was he laughing at the balloons? Like, what am I missing?
Did you see him post a picture of it?
Yeah, I saw the picture, but was it just that they were, like, sad and falling down? Like, they were on the ground?
What
was
that? No, I think... Well, from the V Live, the balloons looked really full on the floor, so whoever put it on the floor, like, very strategically placed it to look like there was a lot of balloons, like, just covering the entire floor. But from Jimin's view, you could see that it was not a lot of balloons at all. They were just, like... just look really silly, I guess, but I don't know why I was tickling him that much, but it was cute.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'm like, what's the budget? Y'all don't have y'all don't have room for more balloons? I don't know.
This is Park Jimin. He should get all the balloons.
Exactly. I did see Jin and Hobi join the live, and Jimin was telling them, like, leave. I'm not watching this with you here. Which, like, why?
I know. I was like, he's being a little possessive or something. Like, what's going on here?
Why is it embarrassing?
And he's like, army only. Like, they don't count as army. They can't, like, be a fan of you. Like,
yeah. And I think JK stopped by.
For, like, that's a second. The part I, like, fast-forwarded to, like, looking at the thumbnail. Like, Jimin's intrusive thoughts were winning, because he just, like, reaches out and touches JK, like, directly on the peck. And I was like, I mean, same Jimin, same. Like, none of us are strong enough. And I saw people being like, JK just walks around looking like that? And I'm like, well, yes, that's just how he looks.
Did he stay for long?
No, it didn't look like it. I think he just, like, stuck his head in. At least the part I watched.
I see.
He was like, hi, congratulations. I was just here dance practicing. And congrats. Hi, army. And then he did like a deep bow and left.
Mm. Speaking of JK, because it just came to my mind, have you seen all this like hull blue over this fan that was like apparently stalking him and his friends on the street?
At like a restaurant or something.
Yeah.
I saw a bit of that. I was seeing more the thing that just happened to Tay. Someone, like, followed him into his house and tried to give him a marriage certificate.
Yes, also that.
So, yeah.
Also that.
She was in her 30s, too, and, like, I was like, come on, we get so little representation anyway, do not do this. Like,
both of those were just weird. Like, I don't know, the way JK was looking at that person, like... I don't know what his strategy was. He didn't say anything. Was it like, if I just look at her crazy, she will walk away? I don't know. But, yeah, NCT Jaehyun trying her to, like, pretty much leave me alone. Or leave us alone. It's just funny.
I wonder if it's worth, like, even trying to reason with people. Because, like, remember when we were leaving the JoBo's concert and there was that guy and he, like, came up to us and was, like, yelling at us on the metro platform? I don't know if we talked about it on the track. He was just yelling the craziest stuff and, like, wanted to fight our friend. Like, thank God the train came and we were able to leave. But, like, what would have talking done in that instance? You know what I mean? Like, if we had engaged him, would it have made a difference? Like... for JK or V, like, army are maybe less belligerent, but equally detached from reality.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like, is it worth even trying to, like, communicate with them?
I don't know. It's just, like, you see them sitting there eating. Why would you walk up to them and ask for an autograph? Autograph, whatever it was you were looking for. Just weird. Yeah, I've personally just decided that if I ever see, like... you know, if we go to Korea and we just happen to see any of these idols on the street, like, I'll just take my pictures, my little shaky picture from afar and just, like, move on.
Yeah.
Or not take a picture at all and just let it be ingrained in my memory. Like, I don't know. I just feel like they don't really get too much personal time to themselves. Especially those three, with that whole incident that happened during COVID, that they were, like, fully allowed to be participating in, and people were, like, lambasting them just for being outside. So I feel like we've seen, like, a few of them, like, kind of hang out with each other. But I feel like they've been trying to be more private about it lately, so... I mean, I guess they were on the street, so... but that still doesn't mean that you need to walk up to them and, like... pretty much harass them while they're trying to eat. I just find that very odd.
I understand the, like, impulse of wanting to meet BTS and, like, meet them in, like, a normal way, but I realized as part of this, like, fantasy that I have in my head, I want them to want to meet me too. I don't want it to just be, like, there being like, oh my god, it's JK and he's eating dinner with his friend when I have to, like, go talk to him, and he's just like, what? Like, if JK gave me that kind of side eye, I would be like, well, that'll do it. Like, I'm done here.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, it has to come to you. Like, you can't make it happen.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if you find yourself like trying to make it happen, then you probably should not engage. If you bump into each other, you know, trying to get coffee, trying to buy some clothes at a store or something, okay, maybe then. But even then, they probably are trying not to have any attention on them because it's, you know, a member of BTS. Like, so right. Even then, yeah. Maybe just say, like, hello and, like, leave them alone.
I know. Like, only if there's, like, slow music and, like, it's starting to rain and, like, Namjoon is catching me as I fall in the crosswalk. That's the only time I'm like, oh, okay, this is happening for real.
Exactly. Yeah, and also don't go to their homes and try to present marriage certificates to them. What the f*** was that story? Like, I'm still trying to understand it. Tae's trying to enter his home, and how are you even in the building to present him with a marriage certificate in the elevator? Like, why were you allowed in whatever the parking lot was? I'm like, is this an open situation? Like, is there no security at his place where, like, somebody has to, like, let you into the parking garage? Like, it's just open. Anybody can just access it. I just feel like that's not smart. And then what was your thought? You just, like, ran out? You didn't even say anything? Like, that's even more weird.
Process. Also, like, congratulations, you played yourself because they found you with the personal information that you put on the marriage certificate. Like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me right now? No, yeah, I don't know, because even thinking back to, like, my fancy apartment building in DC, but, like, regular fancy, not, like, celebrity fancy, it had, like, gated, controlled, like, garage access and two levels of security. Like, no one was really getting in there. Again, as we know from, like, other random occurrences, like, no one was getting in there that wasn't supposed to get in there. So,
right.
I'm confused how this could happen to Tae, but apparently this person was just, like, waiting around for his vehicle, so she also knew his vehicle, and then, like, ran after him and, like, gave him... She obviously got to him if she, like, gave him the marriage certificate and he had her info.
Right.
I guess the security guard, like, chased her out later, but, like, yeah, just so many questions. And, like, yeah. What if she could have, like, a weapon or something, God forbid, but we live in crazy times, clearly, so.
Yeah.
If I were to, I'd be like, I simply must move immediately. Like, clearly, right. You all don't have it together, so it was nice
but
living
it's
nearby.
Like, kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing, because... Does it matter? They make their information public every single time they try to, like, purchase a new home or whatever. Like, it's always public information and everyone knows where they live and stay, so.
I would straight up be like, apartments with highest security procedures. Actually, I'm just buying a gated compound somewhere. Like,
you know my vehicle information now? That's kind of... It's not even kind of. That is... insane.
Well, I mean, even if you go on TikTok, there will be like cars of BTS or like watches of BTS. Like, it's just out there, like, no big deal, right? So I'm sure Asasang with a lot of what's the word I want to use, like, overflowing desire could easily find out like what their license plate was and stuff.
It's just crazy to me. It's crazy to me. I have no idea what vehicle they're driving in right now. You ask me, I have no clue. I have no clue. I don't know what their home looks like. Like, I don't.
Yeah. I don't know what their homes look like. I know what cars they drive from said TikTok. Well, I know what cars they own. What cars they own might not be the cars they drive, or if you have 5 cars, like, which car are you driving today? Anyway, we're here to talk about Jimin, and somehow we ended up talking about Sasaeng, but, like, leave them alone.
So, yeah. Jimin's production diary. We basically got to see the production of Face. Off. Face off?
Face.
Face the album. No. Face off. Face the album. Yeah, production of Face, and it was really cool. I feel like this is something that, as an ARMY, I've kind of always wanted to see. Like a real behind the scenes making. I mean, we've seen some things like this, right? Mm-hmm. But I recall one of the members saying in response to ARMY asking for content like this, like, you guys don't really want to see this. And I've always thought, well, why not? why not? I guess after watching, I could see why there's things that you wouldn't want to show. But I do see immense value in, like, really understanding the process of how some of these songs are made. Kind of deep, I don't want to say debunking, but sometimes armies will go on these, like, long, like, tangents, and I guess maybe there's, like, fun in doing that, but, like, theorizing, like, what's the meaning behind this song, and, like, why this beat was used, and all of this, and sometimes it's not, there wasn't always that much thought put into it. It's just like, we're just in here, like, coming up with things and seeing what sticks. There's not always some, like, long, drawn-out, like, story and, like, theory supporting why this song was written, like, X, Y, Z. So, right. I just think it was really cool to see the entire process of them making these tracks.
Well, even the, like, carnival-esque intro to Face Off, like, you can see exactly what you're saying. Jimin's, like, messing around, and P-Dog's like, write that down! So, I mean, like, you know, it's not because of, like, the carnival of life or, like, some, you know, like, they were just like, you know what, that sounds good.
Like, exactly.
So, that was funny. Yeah, I put down, like, basically your comments in my notes as well. I was like, I'm wondering if this is why this was released on Weverse, like, mostly for ARMY versus the other ones that were on, like, Disney Plus. It's like, you don't get to see, like, you see a lot of the process, but that's basically all it is like, a video of their, like, songwriting camp, which is cool, and like you said, like, I wanted it. But, like, in Yoongi's, he's, like, traveling around, visiting all these other artists, like, he's also, like, you can see his process, like, when they go to the, in the soup house, or, like, you know, he's like, I don't want to do the work today. Like, you could see, like, parts of that, but, like, it was interspersed with other things. And then, like, Hobie's, if I'm remembering correctly, was mostly, like, gearing up for Hobie Palooza and, like, some of his, like, celeb after party stuff, unless I'm, like, mixing things together. But it was more about, like, maybe, like, the artistry as a whole or the performance aspect over like, truly the songwriting process. So,
right.
I would say Jimin's was, like, a lot more subdued. And at first, like, I thought that I was, well, I definitely paid for it. But for some reason, I thought part of it was missing, maybe. Just because it, like, jumps right in immediately. And, like, am I supposed to know who the producers are? Because, like, they don't introduce them at all. Like, I'm guessing based on the writing credits that it's, like, Evan, Ghost Loop, and P-Dog. But, like, at no point are they, like, you are Ghost Loop, you are Evan. I mean, I know P-Dog, right? But, like, who's here? Like, tell me who's here.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. I was like, I don't think until I watched the quiz show that I knew who that was Ghost Loop. I was like, oh, okay. Name to a face. Like, I finally know who this is. Just watched the whole entire documentary if you didn't know who you were.
Well, that's why I was like, did we miss, like, an intro sequence or something? Like,
I mean, I thought the same thing. I was like, did they introduce P-Dog? Maybe they did, and maybe they introduced the others and I just missed it, or I just know who P-Dog is, so I don't know. Yeah, I had the same thoughts.
Yeah, well, I guess I need to watch the quiz show to, like, put the faces with the names, because I'm like, these three other guys, and Jimin, Jimin plus three.
And I think did this confirm, was this P-Dog's home?
I think, yeah, he's, like, serving them wine, and, like, he's like, oh, have this foldable table. He's never, like, welcome to my house, but, like, it seems like it's his house.
Yeah. I know we were debating that on our previous episode, and someone did chime in our DMs and like let us know that no, this is not Jimin's house. So yeah, we're cooped up in P-Dog's home for what they said it did take a year.
Yeah, they started in May 2022. So when was it released?
Time's not real. Sometime in 2023.
It was early. Because I was listening to it on a plane, I remember, for the first time. So it had to have been end of March or very early April. Yeah. Which Jimin said he wrote it on a plane, and I was like, does everyone remember that moment that I said that? Like, Jimin and I are connected cosmically or something. No one talked to me. Yeah. I was looking at P-Dog's place, and, like, from every angle you can see a Supreme logo. And I'm also wondering if that's why it was on, like, Weverse, because like if they had released it on Disney, would they have to like blur out the logos, or have they stopped doing that as much? I mean, they were still blurring the Mac logos, which like Mac computers as far as the eye can see, lol at Samsung, but like, I mean, why did Supreme not have to be blurred? Or like, is it Stussy, the other one, Stussy? I don't know
how that copyright stuff works. Or yeah, I don't know if that's just like a brand deal kind of strategy, like you were saying, like no Apple. Even though like New Jeans does brand deals for Apple.
Yeah, it has to be like artist specific, you know.
Right, I thought that was odd that they were doing an Apple brand deal considering BTS is so like Samsung gung-ho, so I don't know. I don't know why I just assumed, like, it wasn't just BTS. It was, like, a Hype Samsung thing. But it's not. So
right, because presumably that's P-Dog's computer. That's not Jimin's computer. So, like, why is right. the Mac logo blurred out? That's a good point.
I guess if Jimin's involved, yeah. He just can't even be around Max. I don't know.
He can't hear the crazy fan whirring sounds or, like, the little swirly, like, multicolored swirly of doom.
Yeah. Anyway, great view outside of P-Dog's home.
I know. I put that in my notes. Like, I want to see that view.
Yeah. Also, it was just very much like a bro pad. Like, there's definitely, like, no women involved in this.
I was not going to say it, but I have in my notes, no women live in this apartment. I just, like, truly, I was not going to say it, but I was thinking it, but I wasn't going to say it.
Has to be. Oh god. But yeah, that room he had was cool. I'm like, this has to be padded to the nines. Like, there's just no way it's not soundproofed like crazy, because they're in here just making all of this noise. He has to have neighbors, unless this is some kind of like standalone home,
the penthouse suite on the top floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but considering that JK was like, I got special padding, and his neighbors are still, like, piped down, like, P-Dog has to have, like, maximum insulation. But no door, just a Supreme, like, chain, like, that we had. What are they called? Oh, my God. Like,
I know what you're talking about. They're
all the rage of Y2K, but, like, those, like,
right. The beaded door things. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, how soundproof can it be with no door?
Good point.
Anyway, whatever. I'm not here to critique P-Dog's hype beast house.
Right. But the, like, walls of pianos. I don't know. It was just cool. And again, this is why I really want some kind of... Not that I want a P-Dog documentary, but it would just be cool to hear. It would be cool to get more insight from people that have been pivotal to BTS career, especially, like, someone like P-Dog or like Slow Rabbit, like the really like the people that have been around since the beginning of BTS, sharing some kind of insight into their like creative process. I would be interested in, like, I don't know, just watching him work. I was like, how did he like, I was just like, how did he even, like, how did he think of some of these things, or how did he get from like A to B? It was just really cool to see him put all of that together and be like, no, it should be like this, right? And hearing like the early formations of these songs and how they got to the final track, I don't know, it was just really cool to see them put that all together.
Yeah, I will say, I assumed that the place with like the wall of pianos was like the studio at Hybe, like that bigger room, and then he had his his home studio, like, because he had like one piano on the wall, and then like the place with like the shoe cubbies, I'm thinking that was his like home studio.
Oh, I was thinking it was all in his home. I could be wrong. Yeah,
I don't know. I just assumed, because the one place was like very modern and had like a lot of like soundproofing, I don't know, like art or like those wooden bar things, and I was like, that has to be Hybe specifically.
I was thinking this was all like taking place in his home, so like I thought it was like a literal like camp, and they were, not that Jimmy was necessarily like living with P-Dawg, but it was like, this is where we're making the music, like in his home. That's what I was thinking.
Which, like, how uncomfortable were his chairs and couch? Because Jimin kept sitting on that, like, hard ceramic floor instead of, like, any of the furniture.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, P-Dawg seemed like he's just having a blast throughout this process. Like, everything is fun to him. Like, I'm sure it's not always fun, but he must just be some kind of, like, I don't know, musical genius or something. Because he's, like, the carnival music and, like, you know what would sound great here? Like, two people talking, you know? Or, like, just, like, having these ideas and then it sounds how it sounds. I'm like, it must be nice.
Right.
Also, P-Dawg wearing an army shirt was not lost on me. It looked, like, military-esque, but it just said army on it. And I'm like, is this a real army shirt or, like, a real army shirt you bought ironically for army?
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it was just like a gray t-shirt, but it said army on it, and I was like
it's interesting,
the sheer amount of alcohol at P-Dawg's place as well. At one point they also have three candles lit simultaneously. It might have been two and like a reflection off the stove, but I was like, the competing scent of three different candles in a small room. I don't know which producer it was, but on the like crazy part, there's like, they're all vibing and like listening to the song and like working on, which like, A, thank God they didn't choose the work visa intro. Like, I don't know why, it just made me laugh. Like, Jimin was like, I'm thinking of a scene, and she's like, I'll get a work visa and come back, and they kept just like playing that over and over. Like,
yeah,
the final movie scene they landed on was much better. But there's someone in the back, I don't know which producer it was, I'm like, what is he doing? Like, everyone else is like vibing and working, he's just in the back room like quietly on guitar or at that second desk. Like, imagine people being chaotic around you and you're so in the zone that you don't even care. Like, you're so hyper focused. Like,
well, the what they chose as the intro of that song, was that even from the movie? I thought it was two actors that just recorded
that dialogue. Right. That's right. They were originally going to go with something, I think, from the movie, like Crazy, right? The 2011 right. movie. And then they ended up having them record something, probably because of copyright. So I think you're right.
Yeah.
But that worked out for the best.
Right. I wonder how much, like, did they inquire, like, what would it cost if we use a bit from your movie, and they're like, for you, $1 billion.
Yeah. The Dr. Evil, $1 million. Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I mean, it still had to be expensive to pay two voice actors to like custom record some like movie sounding audio for you, so it must have been really expensive.
Right.
That it was cheaper for them to be like, F it, we'll make our own.
It's cool how they knew it was a hit too.
Yeah.
In the commentary, Jimin was saying that like it wasn't exactly chosen at that time, that was going to be the title track, but everyone could just like feel how big the song was. I hear it as mainstream in a different way. It was very, it's very like of the times. Well, is it of our times? But of the times now of wanting to do the kind of like, what is that? Like 80s, like yeah. synth pop kind of thing that everybody was on. So I imagine he means like mainstream in that way. As opposed to like, yeah, 7 is like, or even 3D is like a very like mainstream like pop track.
And I don't mean that in a bad way for any of the three songs, but like 3D right. and 7 very much fit into that label for me from my own perception, but like Crazy doesn't. But I hear you on the 80s synth thing, like at The Weeknd, like
right, it's like a relevant sound right yeah. now, which would make it
yeah
mainstream.
The other guys are kind of like sitting around while Jimin works on lyrics, and my notes just say, how do I get this job? Like, I can be your mental support person, just sitting here looking at my phone. Like, in fact, I will do it for free. Like, this was also when RM came into the documentary, and it was so interesting because again there was no introduction about like this is RM or we're so happy like RM's here. He's just like there, he's giving advice on lyrics, and then he's gone.
Yeah,
so it was very like, if I didn't know it was RM, like I just would be like, okay, whatever, which like why would I be watching this documentary if I didn't know who RM was? But
this is also why I thought it was like in the home, because a lot of the scenes were in the home. So I just assumed most of it was, but because there was like no introduction of things, they very well could have been in other places.
Well, I think that was at P-Dog's house. I think that front room with the amazing, this is my, I could be wrong, like listeners offer your thoughts. My perception when I was watching the documentary is like anything with like the piano by the big window and the couch by the big window and the fold out tables, that's P-Dog's house. The shoe cubby room with the Supreme beaded chain, whatever doorway thing, is P-Dog's home studio. And then anything with like that big ass wall of pianos and like the really dark room with like no windows, which also depressing right. is Hybe.
Right.
So.
Which makes sense. I just, watching it, there was just like very little explanation of like what was going on. So I just kind of assumed the setting was the same
yeah.
throughout.
That's a good point. Well, it would have been helpful too, because like for Yugi's, it was like July, San Francisco, like August,
right.
LA, whatever. Like I'm just making up times and locations, but like they could have been like, I mean, for this, it seems like they did it song by song was the structure on the album, though not really, because they put the hidden track before Set Me Free Part 2. But like they're mostly going in set list order, but they were never like at the home of P-Dog, at Hybe. Like, they said May 22, and I don't remember seeing any other, like, timestamps after it started. Just, like, a crazy...
Yeah, they had the, like, series of dates in the very beginning. But I don't recall any other, like, markers of, like, what's going on.
I actually do kind of need a narrator, or at least, like, a visual tell on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if they had flashed up the producers' names, like, once, that would have also been really helpful. After, like, Crazy, unless you have more to say about the, like, Crazy section of the MV.
Nope.
They talk about working on Alone, and this is where I was like commenting on the grind of the music production process. Like, it seemed like they worked on this one for a long time, and Jimin's talking about like the emotional labor of writing lyrics, and he says, "There's nothing I can do with these broken things inside of me." And I was like, "Jimin secretly deep?" Question mark. And it's not really a secret, like we know, but I don't know. I was going through it watching it, just like based on other things, but like he's going through it. It was just like, I don't know, touching maybe? I don't know the word. Like relatable in a weird way.
Yeah, this, I mean, really the entire thing, but this is where I could see why they would not want to show us this process of, like you were saying, the emotional labor that goes into writing these songs, even recording them, right? Like, it's very vulnerable. You are showing yourself making mistakes. You're showing yourself being off key while recording. You're showing yourself, you know, not getting it in like one take. Yeah, it's just a like really long process. Also, how I could see how they'd be like, wouldn't you guys find this boring? So I can see why they've chosen to not always share this kind of process in such like intimate detail, but I do always think about that like dang recording process and how we ate that up. So yeah, I don't think we really care. We just like looking at BTS and whatever it is they have to offer, so we probably would watch them sit in a room in silence for an hour and be like, rave reviews, 10 out of 10, do that again.
Sitting so. In a dark room with the city in the background, 10 out of 10, would watch on loop.
Yeah, this is great for studying, like.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned like we'd be happy just looking at them, because I was like focusing on the process, but also it was during this time where like Jimin himself keeps getting distracted by the camera and doing like thumbs up, like peace signs, like laughing at the hand cam, and so like that was cute. But then I was like, I don't know why, but like boyfriend Jimin is so lethal. So I was, I mean, even as he's going through this emotional impact, like I was looking respectfully.
Yeah,
I don't know, he just like, he had that like short hair, which I remember like so clearly, right? And then he's just looking like, I would never call Jimin beefy, but like, I don't know, just his arms were looking strong. I was getting distracted.
respectfully,
your arms are looking quite strong. This is why I can't approach or be perceived, because I'll just be awkward as hell. Me meeting BTS and being like, respectfully, you are so fine. Like, anyway, yeah. Moving on. I must now go catch on fire somewhere else. It's funny when he goes to actually sing the lyrics, he's like, I have to tragically sit down, and he just like curls up into a ball in the corner and is like sad singing in the mic. I thought he also looked so drained during this part. Like, I was like, my notes say he just looks absolutely drained. But then his quote is, it's fun, let's do it forever. And P-Dog just laughs at him. Like, he's like, yeah, this is fun, but, like, let's not do this forever.
Yeah. And this was, like, all going on during or a little bit before, during and like after the time of that, you know, little conversation we had.
Dinner that lives on in infamy.
So I don't know. I was happy to see him enjoying himself, like despite all of the madness that was going on during that time.
Yeah.
I was happy to see him, you know, enjoying the process alone.
Yeah.
Not alone, but outside of his outside of being with his members, I was happy to see him enjoying himself.
Yeah. I had that realization too. I was like, May 22, that was before this dinner. Like, because we've often wondered, like, how long does it take them to, like, pool certain things together? It took a long time. Like, a little under a year, I guess. Like, 10 months, but yeah. I felt mad in some kind of inexplicable way. Like, like, you knew this was coming, and you're, like, working on your album, but, like, ARMY are living in ignorance about, like, what's to come for them in June 22. And I'm like, of course you knew. Like, he's a member of BTS, but I was just like, like, I've been deceived.
Yeah. I mean, even Hobi knew, right?
Yeah, they all knew.
He'd been working on it even earlier.
Yeah.
His was ready to go. Was it not? Yeah. Was it ready to go when the
It was, because he was the first to go. So he released that. Yeah. And, like, excuse me, if... I'm feeling better, I swear. If the lunch was in mid-June, I can't even talk about it, the dinner. The dinner was in mid-June. Hobi released his album in, like, early to mid-July. Because right. Hobi Palooza was at the end of July, so... Yeah. Yeah. I'm ready for 2025. Tired of this scratch off. The next one they talk about is the Dear ARMY hidden track or letter. This is when I noted he's constantly sitting on the floor and not any of the chairs. laughing, I was laughing at his like early narration of like come with me or like whatever they were trying to do at the beginning of the track. And he said something like, now it's time for me to cry while going home as he's leaving P-Dog's house. And I'm like, same bro, same. just looking at this, my notes are like all over the place. I was really going through it watching this. I'll just read it, stream of consciousness. I can't tell if it's reflecting, but how many competing candles do they have lit? Cloning Jimin's LOL, because this is where they superimpose the multiple angles. Who are P-Dog's neighbors who constantly see him working in the middle of the night with various members of BTS at his house? Jimin says, sort of like me, nothing pretentious, RE the song, and they call the song really pure. And I'm like, is Jimin really pure? Like, discuss amongst yourselves. The best part, I think, of this section is when JK comes to help. It's funny because Jimin, JK comes and he's suddenly offering lots of commentary on, like, how the song should be sung or, like, what he should be doing. And it was just funny because, like, Jimin gives the most, like, brief of side eyes, but it was so funny to me. But then he does look so, like, fond or soft as JK's singing, and he kind of feels guilty. I think about how much they used JK, as he was saying, and they were like, JK is too bold, his voice pops out, and P-Dog's like, we could just fix it when we like mix. I'm like, what a problem to have. Like, you're too good, you're too bold. Those are all my notes for this section, but yeah,
this is when I was like, okay, I'm not supposed to be looking at JK, but my eyes are doing the thing respectfully, so I
your so moment of thirst. Not...
Yeah, this is not what I'm here for.
But you're here, and he's also here, so, you know.
Yeah, also, taking it back to, like, the very beginning where they were just, like, singing F.U. for, like, I don't know, 5 minutes straight. Yes. I'm like, this is also why this could not be on, like, any other platform. It had to be on Weavers.
I did have, I was like the FU scat singing LOL.
Yeah, and like different keys, just like just hilarious.
They're so casual with it, and like I curse a lot, but sometimes I'm like, okay, you all are being really casual with it. Like, it's a lot. It's just funny. I wonder if it has the same connotation for them.
Yeah.
Like ARMY screaming like shoe ball at the top of their lungs. Like, does someone like have a half second like flinch for a second?
Exactly.
Like for us it's like a joke, but it's also a curse word. I was just like
But yeah, it also made me realize how much I enjoy this song, and it's unfortunate that it's not on Spotify for me to listen to. But yeah, it's a really good song.
It's so cute.
JK did add a nice touch.
I love that, like, he had all these questions about how he can show emotion to the fans or, like, what he's feeling. And I think P-Dawg was the one who said, like, we've always shown it through music or emotion, like, you know, like, by releasing good quality music. And I was like, P-Dawg, stop. I need to give you a hug right now. I'm crying. Like, stan a group that stands you back. Anyway.
Right. And not that any of the others don't, but, like, Jimin in particular, too. I don't know. Yeah. His, like, fondness for us is different. I'm like, oh, you like us real bad, don't you?
The Debbie Ryan hair moment.
But, like, as a concept, some of you, the ones talking.
Yeah, like, bye. Yeah. Yeah, don't do that. In fact, that probably decreases the fondness. Like,
exactly.
JK's like, I could get this army tat erased off my knuckles right now. Stop bothering me at dinner. Like, yeah. I can't even imagine, side note, the amount of stress they're under constantly. Like, I don't like being out in public necessarily, and I'm not a celeb. Like, I'm just a person, you know?
Right.
But I don't like having, like, weird or awkward interactions. Like, other people are annoying. Like, got a passive aggressive note on my car last week about, like, how I had parked my car despite having paid for the spot, whatever. Like, people are just annoying. So to have people be annoying but then know that the spotlight is on you and you can't, like, react in, like, the heat of the moment or any kind of way, like, I just don't know if I could do it.
Yeah.
Because if someone followed me to dinner, I'd be like, go the F away. Like, go. But JK can't say go the F away.
Right.
I mean, he could, but it would be some kind of, like, massive scandal. Yeah. Anyway. Set me free part two. What is, like, Jimin's voice? Was it Jimin? I, like... He's like, this is America. But the voice was so deep, it, like, jump scared me. I was like, Jimin, was that you? Like, what was that?
Sometimes he does stuff like that, and I'm like, all right. What was that? Let's dial back.
It's, like, I don't know. He does that periodically, or, like, when he screams a line or something, his voice is actually, like, really loud and gruff, and I'm used to hearing, like... I don't know, like, smooth, suave Jimin voice, right?
Right.
And I'm just like, oop. Again, respectfully, but also kind of jump scared.
Exactly.
Like, both things at the same time. Don't yell at me. They go to LA to work with, like, a choir that's doing the, like, oh, hey, oh, oh, hey, oh, oh, hey, oh, oh, that part. And I was like, what if you're in the choir and you just see these, like, two guys headbanging to your acapella, like, outside of the studio? Because, like, Jimin and P-Dawg are, like, headbanging and jumping around, so.
I thought that was interesting to see them in the studio themselves recording it. Like, what triggered what we're doing right here is not enough. Like, we need a legit choir for this. So for them to fly all the way out to LA, I'm like, was this the same choir that they used for, like, On and Ego?
I was assuming that it
was. Or was it different?
But I don't actually know that to be true.
But anyway, Jimin walking into the studio, just being like, I'm Jimin. It was, I don't know, it was the cutest thing. He was so awkward. You can't help it, poor thing. It was so cute. But yeah, they were, like, really feeling that choir, especially P-Dawg. Like, he's so animated. It's just, I don't know. It was cool also getting to, like, know a bit of P-Dawg's personality. Like, I watched him on the making of And Team. And so, like, I could see him basically just like as a judge, but I guess I got to see more of him as a person rather than like just a producer. And it was just, I don't know, it was kind of funny how animated he was being throughout the whole thing.
P-Dawg is one of the like OG producers that's been with them from the start, right? So it just feels really like they just felt, I mean, I don't know, I'm a person looking at their interactions, I'm not in those interactions, but they just seem like super comfortable and like respectful of each other, but like they're also having fun. I was just like, this is such a wholesome dynamic. Whenever Jim's like, not this, P-Dawg's like, no, that was good, do it again. Or he'll be like, oh, like, change just one thing, and then he'll be like, oh, Chua, like, I like it, it's great. Like, just like,
exactly,
everything is great all of the time. Like, can I have 1 ounce of P-Dawg's positivity, like, please?
Right. I can see why their staff gets so emotional, you know, or when we have seen them become so emotional around like award season or whatever the case may be, because they've really like formed like familial bonds almost while doing this work together. Like, they really are that close. It's not some kind of like stuffy like coworker situation. Like, no, they really do like each other.
I was actually thinking about that, like, we've talked about like how they were all under so much pressure in the early days and how like, are they trauma bonded or whatever, but you can like someone intensely but not have like a long sustained like positive relationship with them. And so I just think it's really telling like how long they've had a good relationship for, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it's just like, I'm kind of in awe of them and their dynamic with their staff, with each other, but like with their staff that have been around from the jump.
Right.
I thought it was funny because I feel like my phone screensaver is Seoul, but I'm pretty sure P-Dawg's TV screensaver was Chicago and like Willis Tower, which I don't even think it's called Willis Tower anymore. But I just had to like chuckle at that when they're all like dancing around headbanging. I'm like nebbing, looking around P-Dawg's house. For Set Me Free Part 2 and the commentary video, and again, I didn't finish it, but I watched a lot of it. I was watching it in like 1,000 different clips on the app formerly known as Twitter, so I might have missed some parts, but I guess Yoongi was originally supposed to do the rap for this track, and then it just like didn't happen, so that's why they ended up using Yoongi's, like, they're like, we just used his title. I'm curious to know, like, why Yoongi wasn't on the track, because I can see, just, like, given the vibe of the song, like, I feel like his voice would have fit so well.
Did he say something about, like, maybe I'm making stuff up, that it was, like, Jimin's thing, and, like, that's why he wasn't a part of it, but I'm like, you got other members on your stuff, so.
Yeah,
I know. I don't know.
And, like, JK was on it, RM was there helping with lyrics, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder. Maybe at the time, they were assuming that Set Me Free was going, I think because they did say that Set Me Free Part 2 was going to be the, they were thinking it was going to be the title track originally. And so maybe it was like, let's have just, you know, Jimin on his own without having another member in it.
For the title.
As like the main, yeah.
That makes sense. I don't know why, but like seeing Jimin in a beanie is giving me war flashbacks to like 2014, 2015. Like, he still wears them a lot, but it was just something about like that specific outfit. I can't explain it. I was like,
yeah,
remember where we came from? Like, it was just funny. And I also wrote, if I could squish his cheeks one time only. Like, please, universe, hear me. I have one thing that's a question for you. This is my last note. P-Dawg says something, everyone gets out of the car at the top. I'm like, what are they talking about here? Is that like an expression? Is that like,
I have no clue.
Okay, I was like, oh, I am missing something. Like, I don't know. So they were talking about, like, maybe how the song was building, and he's like, and it comes to the top and everyone gets out of the car. Was that, like, a concept that they had that they didn't end up using? Like, I was like, is this some kind of, like, expression, euphemism? Like, I'm not picking up what he's putting down. Like, I don't know what he's talking
about. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
I'm like, question mark.
I have no clue. I was trying to figure out why they reserved Set Me Free Part 2 for last.
I think
I was like, did they skip this song? And then it was at the end of the documentary. I was like, oh, okay, they're doing it, but why is it here? I thought we were going, like you were saying earlier, in like trackless order.
Wasn't it towards the end of the track list, though? I mean, the thing that threw me off is they talked about, like, Letter / Dear Army first. So I wondered if that was in the beginning. To be.
Oh, no, it is at the end.
But, I mean, they have the English version of, like, Crazy as well. Yeah. So. I was confused by the order. At first, I was like, what's happening?
I don't know why I thought Set Me Free was in the beginning. But yeah, it is at the end.
I think because didn't they release the Set Me Free Part 2 music video first?
Yeah.
Like in the promotion schedule?
Right. And I think they had mentioned it earlier during like Crazy.
Mm.
And so I thought I had like missed something for some reason. But no, it is at the end of the track list.
Yeah, by going like track list order and not sequentially, it's like slightly confusing. I think I've said that about all the documentaries so far, though, if we're being honest. I'm just generally confused. I'm busy getting distracted by like home decor, the members themselves, like anything I could possibly be paying attention to other than the music making process itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like at first I wasn't sure because like you pointed out, it was like a lot more about the music process, but like you also said, like we've wanted this for a long time. So once I realized it wasn't like as flashy as some of the other documentaries, I was like on board. I love seeing Jimin in general. Even when he was doing some kind of like silly dance, and like even then I couldn't look away from him, and I'm like, I forget how down bad I am for Jimin sometimes.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. I'm like, I can listen to these songs again with a renewed sense of appreciation for them, considering all the factors that went into making them. And there was little parts of the song that songs that I feel like I didn't pick up on, but watching them put the tracks together made me think like, oh, okay, like, let me go back and listen to this song, or like, oh, that's what that part is. Like, I didn't realize that that was them doing this. So it was really cool seeing them put it all together. And so, yeah, I'm like, I need to stream Face today.
Same. Yeah. I don't have anything else, really. Do you have anything else you want to talk about today?
No, I don't think so. We can go ahead and wrap it up here. That'll do it for today's episode of Girls with Fun. We'll see you next time.
Bye.